going from where you are right now to where God wants you to be, making every step count. That's our vision. And you know that vision is lined up for everybody. I don't care where you are in Christ, there's still a place ahead for you. I don't care where you are. And these are the things I want us to focus on this year. We need to make every step count in our relationship with God, spending time in His Word and prayer. I want that to become such a part of your life that you do not let your day go by without spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Not one day go by without you. So if right now you're spending maybe one day, 2 days a week, you may read the Bible, we want you to get to the place that every day you are spending time in the Word and God and prayer. Because you know what? Both Christians and the devil makes the same mistake. They underestimate the power of prayer. So one of our making every step count this year is going to be spending time in the Word and in prayer daily. So the next handout will have daily next to it. The other thing is in our marriages. Understanding each other and applying God's principles. Marriages, making every step count. Starting to understand your spouse and applying the principles of God. So we'll be looking at that this year. And the last one is in finances. Gaining a healthy perspective by applying God's principle. Gaining a healthy perspective by applying God's principles. Now, you may think, I've got it all together. You may say, well, Pastor is going to do this because he's got it all together. I realize I don't have it all together. In fact, Jill and I was sitting on the couch and there was Jill and we were talking and something came up and we talked and I said, you told her that? I would not be able to minister to her in that area. Because, and Jill says this, and I can't remember what scripture she read. She said, then you all will work on it together. And it was something to do with marriage. Sometimes we think that our marriage is going so good and we just have our heads in the sand. Yeah. So we got to be careful. Sometimes we think everything is perfect in our marriage, but guess what? It's not. You know, and so we need to get to the place that, and then the other, and finances, I don't get it together. I do not have it together. I make flops all the time. I confess that I have gotten better, a lot better in my finances. But guess what? I am not there. I need all the help I could get. So I want us, as we fasted and prayed this week, these are the three things that the Lord laid on my heart for us to make every step count, going from where we are to where God wants us to be in our relationship to Him, understanding and applying God's Word to our marriage and our finances. Amen. There's more information there. If you have a prayer request and you turn it in, I'll have it on here so we all can be praying with you and for whoever needs prayer. So let us know. If I didn't put your prayer request on here, remember I already said I may offend you sometime and you feel offended. It wasn't left off because I wanted to leave you out. It just didn't come to mind while I was doing it. So if you have a prayer request, you let us know and we'll put it in here. And then everybody would have a copy in their homes. And in your prayer time, praying daily in your relationship with God, you can bring it towards the Father. Amen. Also, mark your calendars that our first fellowship Sunday will be March the 31st. I know I'm saying it very early, but I just want to make sure you're ready and prepared. If you are willing to help, and I'm not going to do this every Sunday, okay, because this wouldn't change much from Sunday to Sunday. This wouldn't change much. It will just be added on to or subtract that something is gone. It wouldn't change much. If you would like to help plan the fellowship Sunday, let me know. So I wouldn't be the one, or Jill be the one calling around and say, you bring this, you bring that. If you feel you have a talent in that area, let us know and we'll let you do that, and that'll be wonderful. Now is the time for you to start making preparations for Trinidad Trip Missions. So the dates are there, and then they are coming back with us to help do VBS and whatever we have for them to do. And there is a great possibility we may have a 10, what do you call them, orchestra, I don't know, steel pan playing the oil drums. And I'm trying to work it out that they'll come play the oil drums for us. So it's going to be something good. So you could pray about that. I'm thinking about either setting them. This area will be too small because it will be too loud in here. So I'm planning, I'm hoping it's sunny. We go and invite people in the neighborhood, and we set them up out there. They already told me if they come, they will need a tent because the heat interferes with the tuning of the instruments. So we'll have to get a tent put up out there, put them under the tent, and I just think it'll be great. Okay, just take me back to where I'm from. So so keep preparing, and there's a little place here for you to have sermon notes. All right? So that's what this is. This is never going to be an order of service. It's going to be information. Praise God. We are back in Deuteronomy. And we are in chapter 30. We're almost to the end. And so I'm hoping we get to the end. And after we get to the end, we'll start focusing on some of the three. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. Deuteronomy 30, 1 to 10. By the way, it's great to have Shirley here. It's been a while. It's good to have you. Good. All right, and it reads, "And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I commanded you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God had scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you. And from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offsprings, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I commanded you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the works of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Father, we pray, God, this morning that you would let your word ring in our hearts, change our life, transform us, and make us all that we need to be so that we can glorify your name in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know if I had too much time on my hand this week, but everything we're going to talk about is going to begin with an R. It is, let me tell you, this week I had a good time. I didn't feel I was rushed, and it was good. But in the first instance in this story here, he said these words, "And when these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you today, you call them to mind." You call them to mind. My first one is remember. We must have times that we remember what God has done. I don't care where you are in life. You could be walking a life that is righteous, walking in obedience before God. You still have to spend time remembering where God brought you from. But if, this is what's interesting here, but if you had walked away from the commandments of the Lord, you have to also remember what God has done. Even if you're in his blessings or if you are in his curses, you have to call to mind. You got to remember. You know, there's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. It's very familiar to all of us. Luke 15, 15. And here we go. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country and set himself into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger." Guess what happened? I could just see it now. He has walked away from his father. He took his blessings. He squandered all that God has given to him. And he got to a place that he was within God's curse because he was disobedient. And something happened as he was feeding the pig and desiring what the pig was having. He remembered something. He said, "My father has servants and they have more than they could eat. What am I doing here?" If you have gotten to the place in your life that you feel you have gotten so far away from God, you need to take some time and remember the goodness of God. You know, remembering is a good thing. It is a wonderful thing to remember. To remember would do two things. It will bring us back to where we need to be, and it would keep us from going where we shouldn't go. You know, sometimes I still remember this. There was this young girl I worked with at Sears. Young, and you know, and I'm an old man. I consider myself kind of old. I'm turning 50 next year. And she paid some kind of interest in me. And when you're an old man and someone half your age pays interest in you, it feels good. I don't care who you are. It feels good. You know what it tells you? You still got it. But you know something? I remembered something. I looked at this little piece of gold on my finger and I remember I had made a commitment. I remember how much I love my wife. And it kept me from doing what I shouldn't do. Remembering is a good thing. It could bring you from a bad place to where God wants you. And it could keep you from going to a bad place. We got to remember. Not only that, we got to repent. When we walk away from God, we got to repent. And he said, and you call to mind all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and you return to the Lord your God with your children and obey his voice. Repentance. Repentance. We have to repent. You know, I could think of that son desiring all that those pigs were eating. He remembered his father and what his father had that was given to someone that wasn't a child. And he was a child. He didn't say, think about it for a minute. He didn't say, "I remember my father, and I know what he's giving my brother right now. I know my brother's plate is always full." He didn't say that. He says, "My father's servant." He remembered. And then he ran straight to his father. And what did he do? He said, "I have sinned against you." He repented. He realized he had sinned and he repented of his sins. Where are you today? In First John chapter 2, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is confess, repent, confess, turn, and run to God. And you know, sometimes we think we are too far that God cannot reach. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, it says, is God's hand too short that he cannot save? There is no place that you could run so far that God's hands cannot reach you. If you are in a place right now where you think that you have moved yourself so far away from God, he cannot reach you, that's a lie of the enemy. Because in Isaiah, he says, God's hand is not short. Listen to what it says here. All right. He said in verse 4, if your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you. See, if he has sent you so far away because of your disobedience, he can still go right where you are and bring you in. His hand is not short. It doesn't matter where you are today. If you do like that prodigal son and remember what God has done for you and you turn to him in repentance, God is going to forgive you and he's going to bring you back. So therefore, guess what? The third hour, there's restoration for you. God can give you restoration. In verse, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possess, and that you may possess it, and he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. Now, I don't know if you're thinking like I'm thinking. This thought is kind of whacking me out a little bit. Because if I had a disobedient son, I'm thinking about me now, and he came back home, and I forgave him, it will take a long, long, long time before I would put him back in the status that he was. I mean, it had to be, he's going to have to prove himself. And I don't think he will ever be back to where he was. But here it's saying, if you are walking in God's curse because of disobedience and you turn to him with all your heart and your soul, God is going to reach you from however far you are. He is going to bring you back and he's going to give you more than your father. More prosperous. See, that's the type of God we serve. But the key here is this. Have you truly repented? Have you truly repented? When we repent, there's restoration. And I did this out of place. And the 4 hours, God has a good reach. He can reach you. And the fifth R in there is, you can regain your purpose. You can regain your purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God. That's your purpose. When God brings them back in and gives them all that they need to do, he says here in verse 5, and the Lord your God will bring you into land that your fathers possess, that you may possess it, and he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God, well, let's go to the sixth R, will renew your heart, and he will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your offsprings. God can bring renewal in your life. You know, I thank God for the day that God brought renewal in my life. You know, there were times, I remember this. I can only tell you from my life and my experience. At 12 years old, I was walking in the marketplace about somewhere around dusk because it was getting dark, and the brightest the skies has ever been in my whole life. At least that's how it felt. and they were preaching in the marketplace, I went down and surrendered my life to God. And I walked with the Lord solidly for about 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, I did whatever I wanted. I lived lifestyles that God did not like. I went places that God did not agree with. I did things in my life that took me away from what God wanted me to be. And at 18 years old, I heard the voice of God. I don't know if God was speaking all the time, but I just wasn't paying him any mind. All I know that that time, it was very clear. And I remembered what God has done for me. I repented. And God took me from that dirty, nasty, cursed lifestyle. And he brought me back into the fold. And right now I can say that God has prospered me in the things of his word. I repented. And from 18 to now, I'm serving the Lord without looking back. If you have wondered, God can renew your heart. See, and he said, now, who was circumcised in the heart? Were they circumcised in their own hearts? We cannot circumcise our own heart. We can't rid ourselves of sin. But God can. God can circumcise your heart. God can renew your mind. God can bring you back on the solid ground to stand. God can restore whatever the worms has eaten. God can do that. I am glad this morning that I do not have to depend on man to do that. I don't even have to depend on myself. Because Ephesians told me it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. I can't do anything. But when I turn to God and I run to God and I give God my all in all, God comes, he comes and he circumcised my heart and he gives me what is required for me to live for him. Are you walking this morning with a renewed heart? Are you walking with a renewed heart? And two, and the last R is God is your revenger. Avenger. No. Well, let's fix it. He will take revenge for you. That kind of work? Well, I put revenger here. I don't know why. See? You got to correct me every now, but look at it here. In verse, I just had my hand on it until I made that boo-boo. All right. Verse 6, 7. I think it's 7. If I could find it in here. 7. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. See that? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know, it's easy for us to want to take revenge. I don't know about you. It's in our nature. When somebody does us wrong, we want them to what? Pay. That's right. We want them to pay. But what God says, vengeance is mine. Not yours. It's God's. When the God says, touch not my anointed, that's what he means. When they touch the anointed of God, let God do his work. Sometimes we want to do God's work for him. Maybe because we may not like God's outcome. Think of Jonah. Why do you think Jonah didn't go the way God wanted him to go at first? Exactly. Now, if he was sure God was going to burn them up, he'd have been down there in a hurry because he wanted the vengeance to take place. But I thank God this morning that's not our job. That's God's job. That's God's job. So, oh gosh, hallelujah. I guess I got too excited this morning. First, we need to remember, repent, And God will bring restoration because he has a long reach so that you can regain your purpose with the renewed heart he's going to give you. And he says, vengeance is his. He will repay. Sorry that last ad didn't work out. But that's just life.